Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Text number 13. Tam angamatam madu noru gandina. Vivrita tam raksham ashesha dishapa. Upasato payana pani birvina. Trivistapo yoga loka jasam padam. Come him. Hiranyakashipu. Anga. My dear king. Patam, intoxicated. Maduna, by wine. Urugandina, strong smelling. Vibrita, rolling. Tamra aksham, having eyes like copper. Asheshadishapa, the two principal men of all the planets. Upasita, worshipped. Upayana, full with paraphernalia. Panibi, by their own hands. Vina, without. Tribi, the three planet principal deities. Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva. Tapa of anxiety. Oh, austerity, I'm sorry. Of austerity. Yoga, mystic power. Bala, bodily strength. Ojasam, and power of the senses. Padam, the abode. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Oh, my dear king, Hiranyakashipu was always drunk on strong-smelling wines and liquors, and therefore his coppery eyes were always rolling. Nonetheless, because he had powerfully executed great austerities and mystic yoga, although he is abominable, all but the three principal demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, personally worshipped him, please him by bringing him various presentations with their own hands. Purport. In the Skanda Purana there is this description. Upayanam dadu sarvavina deva hiranyaka. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that everyone but the three principal demigods, namely Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu, engaged in his service. Madhvacharya said, Aditya Vasavo Rudras Trivida Hisura Yataha. There are three kinds of demigods, the Adityas, the Vasus, and the Rudras, beneath whom are the other demigods, like the Maruts and Sadyas. Maratas Chaiva Vishve cha sadyas chaiva chitadgataha. Therefore, all the demigods are called tri pishtapa. And the same word tri applies to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu. Text 14. Amara Yudhisthira, descendant of Pandu, by dint of his personal power, Hiranyakashipu, being situated on the throne of King Indra, controlled the inhabitants of all the other planets. The two Gandharvas, Vishvavasu and Tamburu, and myself and the Vidyadharas, Apsaras, and sages all offer prayers to him again and again just to glorify him. Prabhupada, the asuras sometimes become as powerful, become so powerful that they can engage even Narada Muni and similar devotees in their service. This does not mean that Narada was subordinate to Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes, however, it so happens that in this material world that great personalities, even great devotees, can be controlled by the asuras. Text 15. Being worshipped by sacrifice offered with great gifts by those who strictly follow the principles of Arna and Ashram, Hiranyakashipu, instead of offering shares of the oblations to the demigods, accepted them himself. As if in fear in Hiranyakashipu, the planet Earth, which consists of seven islands, delivered food grains without being plowed. Thus it resembled cows like the Sarabi of the spiritual world or the Kamadugha of heaven. The earth yielded sufficient food, grains, the cows supplied abundant milk, and the upper space was beautifully decorated with wonderful phenomena. Text 17. By the flowing of their waves, the various oceans of the universe, along with their tributaries, the rivers, which are compared to their wives, supplied various kinds of gems and jewels for Hiranyakashipu's use. These oceans were the oceans of salt water, sugar cane juice, wine, clarified butter, milk, yogurt, and sweet water. Purport. The water of the seas and the oceans of this planet, which we have experienced, is salty. But other planets within the universe contain oceans of sugarcane juice, liquor, ghee, milk, and sweet water. The rivers are figuratively described as wives of the oceans and seas because they glide down to the oceans and seas as tributaries. Like the wives attached to their husbands, modern scientists attempt excursions to other planets, but they have no information of how many different types of oceans and seas there are within the universe. According to their experience, the moon is full of dust, but this does not explain how it gives us soothing rays from a distance of millions of miles. As far as we are concerned, we follow the authority of Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami, who have described the universal situation according to the Vedic literature. These authorities, different from modern scientists, conclude from their imperfect sensual experience that only this planet is inhabited by living beings, whereas the other planets are all vacant or full of dust. Hiranyakashipu is living in Indraloka. Generally, by many pious activities, one gets the opportunity to even visit Indraloka, what to speak of live there, and what to speak of sitting on Indra's throne and having Indra serve you lassi. And samarasa. Now, Prabhupada, in this chapter, he's repeatedly making the point about that other planets are also inhabited. Now, why he's trying to make that point again and again? Because otherwise, we might get the idea that this is all mythology. There's a planet called Indraloka, and that there's some demigod there. His whole body is covered with eyes. Hopefully he doesn't need glasses. Otherwise, he'd have to get a lot of contact lenses. And there are demigods there of all different varieties. And they're all in some other place other than here. Here on this earth, they have this place, this sacred place called Ahovalam. Has anyone ever been to Ahovalam? Go ahead. Many different places where the pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadeva were supposed to have taken place. Yes? Yes? He went to the places where Hiranyakashipu was supposedly killed. Did you see that, Lalita Govinda? What's that? Yes. Where? But it's, I don't think we're on Indraloka right now. We're on Borloka. But I guess these places are to commemorate these occurrences. They're not necessarily the actual places that Hiranyakashipu decided to come down to the Earth planet for fighting against Lord Nrisimhadeva. Lord Nrisimhadeva was, and Hiranyakashipu was said to be half the size of the universe. So this little tiny Earth planet would not fit him very well. On the other hand, Prabhupada mentions, in a way which is not as unreasonable, in other words, for Prabhupada to explain the whole cosmology every time he has purport and try to tell us that we're on Bhumandala, and Bhumandala is a plain, and on that plain there are oceans of milk, there's an ocean of salt, of sugar cane juice. It says a Jambudweep, which we don't even have experience of Jambudweep because we're just in one little tiny varsha called Bard Varsha. And there are many varshas on Jambudweep, which is the first dvipa. And we don't have experience completely of Bard Varsha. In this yuga, we don't know how to connect, we can't even go from one varsha to the next. Probably we're just going around in circles and we think we're going straight. Therefore, our idea of cosmology is more or less distorted. But we're convinced we know everything. At least the scientists trying to convince us. Although they're constantly changing their ideas, they're trying to convince us that they actually know something, at least, about how this universe is constructed. But the main point, of course, the Prabhupada keeps on making here, is that if we accept the scientists, that everything is either vacant or dust, then we have to reject the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we accept the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we have to reject the scientific version. So here Prabhupada gives a very simple understanding that if the moon is actually vacant, as the scientists say, or the astronauts say they went to the moon, it was all dark, or it was completely light, and there was nothing but, you know, dust, there's no inhabitants there. So if we accept that version, then we have to wonder, if the moon is so shiny at night and it's only made of dust, how does dust reflect the sunlight? If you take dust and you shine light into it, does it reflect back at you? So can anyone explain it? Now, if you tell the scientists, you go to a university with a learned scientist there, and you ask them for an explanation, what can they give? What explanation is possible that a planet which is made out of dust is reflecting light?
Silver dust.
What's that?
Silver dust.
Silver dust.
Or mercury dust.
Mercury dust. Have you ever... Mercury is not so... There's no dust called... What's
it?
There's special dust.
Yes.
So when they brought back the dust, why didn't it look so special? It looks just like a rock they could have picked up in the Arizona desert. Why wasn't it special rock? Why doesn't that rock reflect light if it's special rock? Can anyone explain?
They didn't want to expose that they were still damaged. So they...
What's that?
They didn't want to expose that, otherwise they were still...
Still what?
Still rock.
the silver dust. Well, why didn't they bring it back and sell it? What good is it? They never go back to the moon anymore. They had to buy it from the moon inhabitants. It was too expensive.
Now it's mission on Mars. They have now a new mission on Mars.
On Mars. Well, why don't they set up something on the moon first?
They will go to the moon also.
Is that right?
Everyone is going already. Chinese are going
to the moon.
Russians are going.
People are going from China to the moon. And the Russians also.
They do have impression.
That they're still going.
They're flying.
They're going to go in the next few years or something.
Okay. And then from there they'll go to Mars.
India smashed their satellite or missile last year in the moon. They wanted to send some lander, but it smashed.
Crashed on the moon. Oh, that's why you don't have to explain how much it costs. You buy a $50 car, you spend $5 billion on it, and then people want to look at it. Let me see it. So you just crash it. You don't have to explain why it looks like, you know, a used car from a used car dealer costs $50 billion. So the idea is that with a little common sense, we shouldn't be so impressed. The idea is, again, is not to get into a whole controversy, whether they went to the moon, get on the internet, and fight with people day and night, trying to prove that actually we never went to the moon. The idea is we have faith in the Vedic version, that's all. And why do we want to have faith in the Vedic version? Because the Vedic version says, what to speak of these planets like Indra Loka and Surya, the sun planet, or Chandra Loka, that far beyond there's Vaikuntha, or Shiva Loka, Mahashiva Loka, Vaikuntha, and Krishna Loka. If we can't believe in the planets that we can see with our eyes, that there could be life on them, how can we understand that beyond this material world there's a spiritual sky? That's even more inconceivable. Therefore, Prabhupada keeps on pointing out that there is life on other planets. The planets were created with intelligent design, and there's a purpose behind everything in this universe. And God is not just like throwing things out, see what works. He's been doing since time eternal, practically speaking, so he knows exactly what works. He makes perfect arrangements at every moment. Otherwise, we'll lose track of the fact that Krishna is controlling everything, and everything has a purpose, and therefore everything we're experiencing also has a purpose, and the ultimate purpose of the universe Saha Jagna Praja Shvishva Puro Prakta Prajapati Anena Prasavishadvam Esha Yoshvishvatakara Madhu. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this sacrifice because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable. So everything is meant for Yajnavai Vishnu. There's nothing in the universe, simply decoration for the earth planet. It all has a purpose, and the purpose is to sacrifice for Vishnu. And if we're here in this little tiny speck, this little tiny remote place in the universe, and we perform sacrifice for Vishnu, then we're perfectly doing what we're supposed to be doing. We don't have to worry about what everyone else is doing. We don't have to worry whether in Indra Loka or in Maharaloka, they're doing their sacrifice. They're doing their sacrifice, and we should do our sacrifice here too. That's the whole point. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Actually, in this
moon planet, they have pixie dust. Pixie dust. You know what pixie dust is? You've never heard of pixie dust?
Fairy?
Yeah.
Is that what they call it?
Pixie, you know, pixies. Sprinkle it in, magical. So they have magic dust on the moon planet. The pixies put it there. The good fairies.
I have a question about the texts regarding everybody serving Hiranyakashipu.
Yeah.
I already asked something similar. So Narada Muni, it's, I can understand he's a jester frequently. He likes jokes and he likes plays and acting and things like this. But there are so many different rishis, munis, and Vaishnava demigods. And it, apparently it was only Prahlad who dared go against, openly against, to continue glorify Vishnu. Whereas we see that even in recent, in the Kali Yuga, we have Haridas Thakur or some philosophers or Socrates or so many who preferred to die rather than convert to some, to give up their convictions, to yes. betray their convictions. I mean, it's quite understandable, but still, how is it that even in the Kali Yuga we have people who are very faithful to their convictions, whereas in the heavenly planet it seems that everybody bent.
Everyone was a traitor.
Really a traitor, but they had to
out or something.
Submit. Everybody submitted.
Why is Narada Muni? Well, because is that the question? Narada Muni, particularly.
I can sort of. You said he likes to. He's humble, and he's also, he knows the lila, and he likes to make jokes. So that's okay. But weren't there other ones who were more serious and would be more straightforward?
Well, they're reasonable. Brahma, the head demigod, gave him all these benedictions. Now, if they were, even if they had the power to curse him, as they did later on with Ravana, because he wasn't as powerful as Hiranyakashipu. But to try to go against Hiranyakashipu would mean to go against Lord Brahma's benedictions. And that's upsetting the universe, even more than it was already upset. Just like when Ravana challenged the Yamaraj. And Yamaraj just left the battlefield. Could have killed Ravana, but it would have went against the benedictions that were given. So these rishis and sages, it says in the previous verse, like Bhrigu, that Hiranyakashipu asked for benedictions that even surpassed Bhrigu. So Bhrigu didn't want to waste his time. If Brahma gave him, Brahma, he's born out of Brahma, so if Brahma gave him this Hiranyakashipu more power than he had, why should he waste his time trying to defeat him? So they all just played along and waited for Lord Vishnu to come. As we'll find out, they just didn't sit around. They went to Vishnu because they knew that there must be a plan behind this and only Vishnu can kill him. It's like when Varuna, when Hiranyaksha came to fight against Varuna, Varuna knew that he wasn't supposed to kill Hiranyaksha. And he just pleaded that I'm old and I'm worn out, you know, don't bother with me. Better you go and find his, you know, Vishnu. He's waiting for a fight with you. So they're intelligent. They're more intelligent than we are. If you know you're going to get defeated, why bother fighting? It's not very intelligent. But on the other hand, they know that behind everything is Vishnu. And that ultimately, as Vishnu said, when this demon tortures his son, then I'll come and I'll kill him. So that's what was destined. In the meantime, you might as well play along. If you play along with, if you serve someone who you can't defeat, then they'll be nice to you. You don't have to create a big disturbance. Besides that, everyone is a servant. So service is a natural thing. It's not hard to serve someone powerful. And ultimately, there are gatekeepers from Vaikuntha. So those who have spiritual vision can see that they're not actually ordinary demons. This is all arranged by Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.